Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Hallelujah. Woo! Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Oh, we got time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody praise him with a loud voice. I know we took our time and we praised him, but just a little bit louder, just a little bit higher. Would you just lift Jesus out? Woo! Hallelujah! Amen, 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 amen. Isn't it wonderful to feel the presence of the Lord in this house? I'm so excited to come into this place one more time and feel the presence of an eternal God. You know, that signifies that not only is he never going to end, but it also signifies that he never began. He's just always been there. You think back to the very beginning of time, and before that, God was still there. And that's how powerful God is. His love, his mercy, his everlasting grace, it just keeps going. Amen. Luke chapter 24, I promise to be brief today. I recognize that there's some of you, you may have came just out of obligation. You may have came because of a true desire. You may have came for whatever reason, but let me just tell you, while you're here, you might as well just go ahead and have church. Amen. Amen. We, normally say stuff like, we want you to make yourself at home, but that's not what I want you to do today. I want you to make yourself at church. You get home, you want to kick your shoes off and sit back and relax and drink a big old glass of sweet tea. Ooh, hallelujah. That's not what we're here to do today. We're here to magnify the name of the Lord. Let him be exalted. Amen. Bishop Sutton, give you honor today. I love you very much. Luke chapter 24, verse 44, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Ooh, that makes me want to shout right there. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. We have the story here. There's going to be a lot of preaching today. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. That's not my intent at all. But I fear today that there's going to be a lot of people that only tell half the story. So there'll be a lot of people in a lot of churches that are going to get up on this Easter Sunday morning and preach about the fact that he got up. And we're going to talk about that here for just a moment, but that's only half the story. Amen. The Bible tells us here today that he ascended into heaven. And so I just want to preach for the next few moments, and believe me, I do know how to be brief. I want to preach to you for the next few moments, what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and your heart to heaven and asking the Lord to help us? Jesus, we worship you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we exalt you, give you glory and thanks. There's nobody like you in heaven or in earth. We ask you, come on, church family, help me pray right now. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us the glory of yourself manifest in this place and the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray right now, God, that someone that's hurting can leave here with help, that someone without hope can leave here with hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray today. And would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time? Come on and lift your voice in thanksgiving and praise. Glory to the name of the Lord. Come on, if God's been good to you, you ought to praise Him right now. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, but please don't sit down on the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When it's easy for us to step to the pulpit on a day like today and preach about what is cliche to preach about on a day like today, it is evident that there, and I'm just going to take all of the pretending and all that good stuff, all the masquerade is going to be gone today. Is it all right if we just talk and it's just us, we just have church visitors, is that okay if we're just how we are and we're just real and we're not trying to put on no mask or nothing like that? No smoke and mirrors. If we can just be real today, would that be okay? Yeah. All right, y'all asked for it. No, there's a lot of people in a lot of churches today that probably will not go back to church for another 6 months to a year. And somebody said, oh me. There's a lot of places where there's going to be people that get up and preach in a pulpit and they're going to preach a cliche story about a God that was manifest in the flesh. And again, I want you to understand it's powerful, and we're going to talk through some of that here for just a moment. But it's more than just He came and He died. It's more than He came and He died and He rose again. Understand, born of a virgin birth. This is the miraculous. This is the prophecy, as we read in our text today. This is the prophecy that the prophet Isaiah would talk about. This is the prophecy that Jeremiah would speak about. David would write about it in the Psalms. And you can go all throughout the Old Testament and find the prophetic moments that were leading up to this moment that Jesus is finally ascending. He has come and He has lived on this earth. He has been tempted as you are tempted, yet without sin. He what became the perfect sacrifice. We read about it in the book of Revelation. Behold, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. I've heard people in my lifetime say that when Adam failed in the garden, that God put into action plan B. And so he started thinking about Jesus. Honey, God never has a plan B. It's just the plan. You're not going to catch God on a bad day. You're not going to have to catch God on a backup plan. You're not going to catch God trying to figure out what's going on. You're not going to catch God by surprise. But God knows what He's doing, and it's always been the plan. God knew Adam was going to fail, but He already had a plan in place. And can I just take about 2 minutes and tell you, He already knew that you were going to fail, but He already had a plan in place so that you don't have to live in the condemnation that this world would love to tag on you. Can I tell you today, I know, again, I don't want to sound cliche, but I'm here to tell you that there's a God of heaven and earth that loves you and cares about you. He loves you so much that He died for you. He loves you so much that He raised Himself up again from the dead. He loved you in your brokenness. He loved you in your chaos. He loved you in your dysfunction. He loved you in your twisted mind. He loved my God. I feel like preaching today and telling somebody, you came to church on an Easter Sunday morning wondering what my purpose is. Let me tell you what the purpose is. My good brother Antoine has already said a little bit of it. You were put here so that you could have a testimony to show forth the praises of the Almighty God. You want to know why you've been through what you've been through? So that someday you can stand up and say, but God had a plan.
I had some dark nights. I had some weary trials. But in the middle of all of that, God had a plan. I had some days that I felt like throwing in the towel, but God had a plan. I had some days when my children were driving me crazy, but God had a plan. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Mama, can you hear me? The chaos isn't going to last forever because God's got a plan. The dysfunction won't last forever because God has a plan.
Hallelujah. And so this God that has a plan, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ became the Word incarnate. Jesus Christ became the manifestation of the invisible God. It's Colossians 2 and 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're not up here today trying to chase around three distinct persons. I know who I'm worshiping. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And so this one God became flesh and dwelt among us. And again, he lived as we live. And he walked as we walk. And he was tempted as we are tempted, yet without any sin. You know how powerful that is? You know how many times you've made mistakes, and yet he did everything. He walked through what you're walking through right now, yet without sin. And so we go through the story. Again, I don't want to bore you today. You know the story, but he dies, and he is put on a cross. And the Bible says it is prophecy coming to pass. They take him down off the cross, and they lay him in a tomb for 3 days. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. He had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He had all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And so we go through that, and we stop right here most of the time. And this is where we preach a pretty little Easter sermon about how the God of heaven came down and he lived among us and he died. But he did not die as you and I die, but he raised himself up. And we talk about how powerful that is, and truly it is powerful. And we talk about how wonderful it is, and truly it is wonderful. But you have to understand, friend, that he never intended for us to stop there in the story. That was never the will of God for us to park right here on the fact that he got up and just have good Holy Ghost church and sing good songs about how the blood still works and thank God for the blood. And those are some of my favorite songs, and we're going to keep on singing them and we're going to keep on shouting about it. But friend of mine, if you get caught up on just the blood and that he just died and rose again, you're missing out on the most powerful part of why he came. Because the Bible says that he ascended, but before he ascended, he gave them a commandment. He said, you go to Jerusalem and you stay there until you're endued with power from on high. He said, it's the promise of the Father. And you can read on a little bit longer, and you'll find that after he says that, he disappears into the heavenlies. But somebody heard what he said, and they went to Jerusalem, and they sat in an upper room for about 10 days praying, seeking for the promise of the Father. And somewhere about that 10th day, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord, and suddenly came from heaven a sound like as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I'm telling you today, what goes up must come down. He went up not to just stay in heaven, but he went up so that he could come back in the form of a spirit. He went up so that he could come back in the form of all power. And it's not an external God anymore, but it's an internal God. And when you hear people speaking in tongues on Easter Sunday morning, honey, that's what Easter's all about. When you hear people talking in tongues, when you come to church, that's what the death, the burial, and the resurrection is really all about. He went up to come back down.
God, I feel like preaching on Sunday morning because somebody wandered in here and you feel like it's hopeless because that situation that you're dealing with is bigger than you. But can I tell you that what goes up must come down? And even though you feel like that it's impossible for you to deal with the situation that you're dealing with, the Holy Ghost to help you. And he went up to come down on a Sunday morning and fill you with the... I know it's simple, church, but somebody needs to help me preach right now. I'm pulling for a mama that walked in that her children have ran crazy. I'm pulling for a divorcee right now that walked into new life on a Sunday morning and you're wondering why. Why am I even here? Why is there any hope? Why could I even smile? I'll tell you why. If you give this good Holy Ghost, it'll give you a reason to smile. It'll give you a reason to rejoice. I know everything's not good, but he's still good. I know everything's not perfect, but he's still perfect. I know everything may feel like it's not going to work out, but he said, I'll take what the devil meant for evil, and I'll turn it around, and I'll fill you with my spirit, and I'll work it out for your good. Hallelujah. 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 I don't want to get caught up halfway through the story and stop when you realize that the elders, Abraham, think about this for a minute. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible tells us that the mysteries of the Old Testament are revealed in us. Think about that. You keep saying, I want to go to heaven and I want to talk to Abraham and I want to talk to Isaac and I want to talk to Jacob and I want to talk to Noah, and I don't know how it works in heaven because I've never been there. But if they can look down, do you realize that they are sitting on the edge of their seat wishing to God that they could just switch places with you? Because what they seen through a glass window darkly, what was a mystery to them, is revealed on an Easter Sunday morning when somebody gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What Abraham would fall on his face for, what Isaac would just, he's dying to know what it feels like. The Bible tells us that even the angels desire to look in on what's happening here today. I'm telling you today, what goes up must come down. And you may feel as if your life is at an end, but you don't know, honey. It's not the end, it's just the beginning. Because with God, he makes all things new. He makes all things fresh. I wish I had somebody today that could just give a witness that he can turn your life around. He can set you on a solid rock. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, well, you don't know how bound I am. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know how many people have been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't know how many demons I'm having to deal with. Well, let me just tell you something. When you get that light on the inside, what fellowship hath light with darkness? The darkness has got to go. And so that torment in your mind can't stay forever. So hear me right now. That torment in your mind can't stay forever when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. That depression that you have to live with, and the devil convinced you that it was terminal and you would never live a life of joy and peace. Let me tell you something, honey. You ain't known life. You ain't even been born yet. You ain't even experienced what real life is all about until you experience the Holy Ghost.
say, well, I need something a little bit deeper than that. Honey, I'm going to tell you, it's really simple. That's the beauty of it. God took the simple things to confound the wise. It's really simple. You repent of your sins. You get baptized in the only saving name, the name of Jesus. For neither is our salvation in any other name. And then you lift your hands and God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Honey, when you get that and everything starts changing, then you can stand up and be numbered with the ones that say, hey, I've got the testimony. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. He turned my life around.
You don't know how bad it is. I don't have to know how bad it is. Just by show of hands, I want to help somebody today, and I know that this is new life. This is a little bit different for us, but it's going to be all right because we're going to have Holy Ghost Church anyway. But just by a show of hands, if you're from New Life and ever been delivered from alcoholism, raise your hand. Keep your hand up. If you've ever been delivered from cigarettes, raise your hand. I'm talking about addictions. You ever been delivered from drugs? Raise your hand. I don't know if y'all see what I see, but I see a bunch of hands that are lifted up. You know what that is? They couldn't overcome that addiction on their own. I'm sure if I had time to hand this microphone around, there would be people here that would tell you that I tried AA and AA didn't work. I tried every form and every fashion of trying to get deliverance on my own, and it didn't work. But I one day when I found myself at an altar and I repented of my sins and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was forever changed. I'm preaching to somebody right now that walked into New Life and you feel at my kataya, you feel like nobody cares. I'm telling you, don't let the suit and the tie fool you. Honey, you're looking at an ex-addict. You're looking at an ex-alcoholic. You're looking at some of these people around here, and they've got a testimony that he went up to come back down. He went up to fill you. He went up to change your life.
Musicians, get ready to come. I'm almost done, I promise. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long. If y'all don't like me for anything else, y'all will love me because I'm short-winded. Unless he does that, and then I start wanting to preach again. But you see, well, I'm just a good person, and I don't drink, and I'm not addicted, and I'm not really depressed. I'm a good person. Yeah, there was people like that in the Bible. They came to Jesus by night. And Nicodemus said, you know, hey, I need to know something here. He said, you're a pretty good fella. He said, but I need you to understand something. Lest you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I know this ain't a popular message on Easter, but it's the word of God, so just deal with it, honey. I love you. God bless you. It's not real popular to tell people nowadays that you just can't live any way you want to live. It's not real popular nowadays to tell people just come to church and shout a little bit and you can go home and live like the devil if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. This Holy Ghost will make you want to live right. You can't enter into the kingdom of heaven without the water and the Spirit. But here's the deal about it. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. All you got to just surrender and give Jesus your life. Just surrender and repent of your sins. And it's a promise. He said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. go to Jerusalem because the promise of the Father is coming. And let me just tell you, I know that there would be people today that would stand up and say that was only for the disciples and that was only for the 120. But let me ask you a question. Then why did you walk into a church on a Sunday morning and people were lifting their hands and lifting their voice? Because God had brought them out. If that was true, then you tell the addict that raised his hand that he's still bound. If that was true, then you tell the alcoholic that he's still an alcoholic. But when they... I'm telling you today, it's still healed. It's still being poured out. There's an old song that says, it's not form and it's not fashion, but this salvation sent from God suits me fine. It's old, yet it's new. It's powerful, yet it's true. I'm going to tell you something. The blood still works, but it only works when you mix it with the Holy Ghost. The blood still works, but it only works when you get the power down on the inside. What goes up must come down. He didn't leave you, honey. Say, I feel alone. You're not alone, because the Spirit of the Almighty God is here today. I'm forsaken, no, honey, because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And he said in the book of John, chapter 14, I think it's verse 16, he said that promise, the Spirit is going to be sent and it's going to dwell with you for always. Honey, if you came to church on a Sunday morning depressed, you can put a smile on your face, because he said, my Spirit's coming and it's going to be with you always, always, all, even into the ends of the earth. I'll be with you always. I'm telling somebody today on a Sunday morning that you can smile, you can rejoice, you got a reason to rejoice. You want to know why? Because if you don't have it, you're a prime candidate for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Where do we go from here, preacher? What do we do? Stand with me, if you will. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm entitled to 3 closings. This is my second. It's like an unwritten rule with preachers. They get 3. Don't take my 3 now. Where do you think you're going to go? Because let's just be honest. You've tried it on your own, and that didn't fix it. Well, Antoine, you were in the Holy Ghost earlier when you were talking. Because there's people in here today. They dressed up and put a nice suit and tie on. They got their Easter Sunday dress on. But the truth of the matter is if you were able to look into what's behind the masquerade, when you look behind the mask, there's a person there that's tried to fix it on their own, and no matter what they've done, they keep failing. I'm going to tell you, like Paul said, in myself, there's no good thing. The greatest apostle that would ever pick up a pen said, in myself, I'm not able to do it. You, I don't matter how good you are, you need the Holy Ghost. Said, well, preacher, I don't really like you telling me what I need and don't need. Well, let me just tell you something. I'm not telling you what you need and don't need. I'm telling you what the Bible says you need and don't need. And you say, well, I really don't like that either. Well, let me just ask you a question. Have you tried it yet? Because don't knock it till you try it, honey. It's powerful. It's true. It's real. It'll change you. It'll help you. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, is that all you're going to preach about? Bishop Sutton, what else is there to preach about? Preacher, when I come to New Life, it seems like that's all y'all harp on is getting baptized and getting the Holy Ghost. What else is there to preach about? I'm going to tell you what, if Congress would just call me, I'd tell them how to fix all this. Say, well, you're getting political now. Yeah, if we could get the Pentecost, if we could get the Holy Ghost in it, if we could get people filled with the Holy, I'll tell you what will fix racism. The Holy Ghost will fix racism. Say, well, I don't really believe that. But then look around at this Holy Ghost filled church and you'll see white, you'll see black, and you'll see Latino, and you'll see Asian, and they're all worshiping together. That's a prime example right there. You know what this world needs? It doesn't need another crooked lawyer or politician. It needs the Holy Ghost. And you want to know how it's going to get it? If you get it and take it to somebody else. If you get it and you spread it and you tell everybody you know, there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Come here, Brother Antoine. Brother Antoine, come here. I'm gonna preach this because somebody needs to hear this. Why is it? Come here. Get right here with me. Put your arm up there like I got my arm up there. Why is it in churches all over the world, they preach against racism, but on Sunday, because you're a different color than me, you go to another church? And I want to tell you what's happening. I want to tell you why it's like that. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, a black man and a white man can stand in the same pulpit and preach the same message about the same God, about the same Holy Ghost, about the same delivering power, about the same. There's churches all over Birmingham today that say they're spirit-filled, but yet they're still racist, and yet they still hate each other, and yet. But when you get to a Holy Ghost-filled church, honey, all of that just disappears, because there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Why are you saying that? Because our world is putting all their junk out there about what they think needs to fix it. And I ain't heard one person yet say anything about the Bible. Now, are you getting all political? I don't care what you call me. I'm Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. I'm not a part of this kingdom. I'm a part of another kingdom. Oh, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? When a majority of our young people in our schools, by the time they get out of school, have already experienced sexual immorality. What are we going to do in this world where by the time they get out of high school, they've already experienced some form of addicting drug, whether it be nicotine or something else? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep preaching stuff like what goes up must come down. So I know there's some people here today that you got a wall up because I can feel it. And you're like, preacher, you just preaching that message and you're trying to shove it off on me. Well, let me issue you a challenge. You go home and keep living the same way you're living until you get so sick of it that you can't do anything else. And then come back and watch and see if this church ain't bigger than it's ever been. Not because of us, not because of Evangelist Phillips, and not because of Bishop Sutton, but because he went up to come back down, because he went up to send his spirit back down. And I'm going to tell you what's going to change Birmingham, honey. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody right now would just reach over and grab your neighbor by the hand, whether they're your friend or not, and just pray with them right now in the Holy Ghost as the singers get ready to come. Come on, would you just pray? Come on, God, God help them. If they don't have the Holy Ghost, you pray, ask them, do you have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because if you haven't, you can get the Holy Ghost today. You can get the Spirit of the living God on the inside. Yeah, come on, come on, pray with me, church. Come on, would you pray with me? Woo! Woo! Come on, you ought to pray till you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, you ought to pray till you're praying in the Holy Ghost. This is that, hey, this is what Easter Sunday's all about right here, honey. He died and he rose again. He got up, but he went up to come back down. Woo. Come on, yeah.
I'm going to tell you like this. Why don't we just do it like this? Whether you only make two or three steps, it doesn't matter. But however you feel comfortable, would you step out of your pew and step somewhere across the aisle, down towards the altar, however you feel comfortable. I understand with the pandemic and all of that stuff. So however you feel comfortable, but please step out in the altar and lift your hands. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, find somebody that does and ask them to pray with you until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've never received God's Spirit before, let me just tell you, you don't know what you're missing. It's the greatest thing on this side of heaven. It's God coming down to live on the inside of you. Come on, come on, come on. Would you pray with me one more time? Come on, would you pray with me one more time? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, but you want it, you ought to make your way as close as you can to the altar. Come on, make your way as close as you can to the altar. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with the Spirit.
Pour out your Spirit. Pour out. the victory.